For God grant that those who are numbered among Christians may reject those things that are contrary to the profession of faith and strive after those things that are apt. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, today is the third Sunday after Easter. The text of the Mass that Holy Mother Church proposes for our meditation deal with the virtue of perseverance. Let us begin with the collect of the Mass, which, as you well know, is the prayer that is so called because it brings together the whole church in prayer before God and also presents to God the intentions of the whole church congregated before Him. The collect for today's Mass is addressed to God the Father, and in it we refer to ourselves as those numbered among Christians. In the Latin of the prayer, the word used to refer to those who are numbered is censere, from which we get our present-day word census. For the same reason of the census, the Holy Family had to move from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be counted by the officials of the empire at that time. In today's collect, the word censere is used in reference to our baptism. At the time of our baptism, we are marked on the head with Holy Chrism, made at the Chrism Mass on Holy Thursday. The priest dips his thumb in the oil of Chrism and marks us on the highest part of our head with the sign of the cross. This mark is a sign that the Church claims us for Christ. The ceremonies of the sacrament of baptism includes exorcisms to free the soul from the hold of the kingdom of Satan. And this marking with the sign of the cross is a sign that we are now of the kingdom of Christ. This mark of the cross is a sign that we are numbered with those of the members of the church. We are included in the census of those who claim to profess the Christian faith. It is for this reason, during the ceremony of baptism, that we say the Our Father and the profession of the Catholic faith. In today's epistle, St. Peter points out that this mark, this claim of Christ over us by the sign of the cross, shows that we are meant for the glorious things of heaven. During our baptism, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and fills our soul with His grace and grants to us the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, the infused moral virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, and His seven gifts of wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. After his baptism, a Catholic needs to learn how to use what he has received. He needs to be catechized and not evangelized. Catechism is for those who have received the faith, as at baptism. Evangelization is for those who have yet to receive it. In catechism, we learn that the virtues that we received at our baptism are to be cultivated in our daily life to grow in perfection. We learn that we are to pray for the grace of God so that we can do so. We learn how to pray. And most importantly, we learn to open our hearts to the love of God Himself. For in the end, it is the love of God that is the virtue that will lead us to endure every difficulty in the pursuit of the kingdom of heaven. This love of God even has the special name of charity, because it is something very different from the human love that we have for each other or for material things. Charity is given to us by the Holy Spirit at our baptism because it is a divine love that enables us to love God Himself. Charity in us allows us to participate in the divine love of the three persons of the Holy Trinity. Because of this divine love, along with the other virtues and gifts that we receive, we are capable of turning to God, and as St. Paul tells us, we can address God with the words Abba, Father. Baptism makes us adopted sons of our Father in heaven. Through baptism, we are marked for the glorious things of heaven. Therefore, in the epistle for today's Mass, St. Peter encourages us to persevere in the good in every situation before us. It is in this way that we are to imitate our Lord during his own life on this earth. The first Pope points out that those who follow Christ will certainly have to suffer for doing the good. Perseverance is a part of the virtue of fortitude. It is the virtue that we need to do what is good, even in difficult situations. We know how to persevere in our various projects or in our studies until we achieve what we have set out to do. However, in order to do the spiritual work to get to heaven, we are given the infused moral virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. These are the virtues that make all the difference in how a Christian lives his life. For even in the situations of our daily life, we can make the choice for the supernatural. Now, we do not use the supernatural virtue of perseverance to build a deck in our backyard or to finish painting a room. But we can use it in our life so that in every situation, we will make time to do things that are truly necessary for the salvation of our souls, so as to establish the kingdom of God in it. The supernaturally infused virtue of perseverance will only be perfected in us at the end of our lives, because as Christians, we are to exercise the virtues of faith, hope, and charity all through it. St. Peter describes several situations in which we may be tempted to give up the good or give in to temptations of various kinds. Yet he encourages us to persevere in doing what is good, even to the point of accepting the authority that evildoers may have over us. In the end, what counts is that we serve Jesus, our Lord, who is truth and goodness himself. Even though there is no perfect justice here on earth, we must accept that on the day of visitation, Jesus himself, a just judge, will set right all evil that we have endured. While he was with us, the Gospel tells us, our Lord mentioned many times that the kingdom of God is among us. He was referring to himself. St. Thomas says that our Lord lived among us to give us an example of how we are to live our lives. He is perfection himself, possessing fully all the virtues that he gives us through the Holy Spirit. Among the evangelical counsels that we are given, we are told to seek first the kingdom of God, and once we do so, all will be set aright for us. In his conversation with Pontius Pilate, our Lord remarked that his kingdom was not of this earth. This kingdom of God on earth is established in our souls through the pursuit of our own perfection, the cultivation of virtues in our souls. This is a lifelong endeavor and requires the exercise of the virtue of perseverance, engendered and supported by grace. In the Collect of the Mass, after recalling how we are marked for the kingdom of God in our baptism, the Church goes on to ask God for the grace to do two things. Reject those things that are contrary to our profession of faith, and to pursue those things that are not. We have seen what it means to pursue the things of heaven in our daily life, the things that are conformed to our profession of faith. Yet, dear faithful, we know that there is something missing. How are we to do this? With Jesus present with his disciples, the kingdom of God was among them. In today's Gospel, our Lord saddens his disciples with the news that he is to leave them. Modicum et non videbitis me. In a little while, you will not see me. He goes on to tell them, iterum modicum videbitis me, quia vado ad patre. And again a little while, you will see me, because I go to the Father. Our Lord had to leave his disciples to send the Holy Spirit upon them. If Good Friday is the day of the birth of the church, the Feast of Pentecost is its epiphany. Through the church, our Lord gave us the Mass. Through the Mass, we have his sacramental presence. With the sacramental presence of our Lord in the tabernacle, we can say once again that the kingdom of God is among us. For this reason, we have no reason to be envious of the disciples who spent so much time with him. Our Lord is right here in our churches. Just as we grow in virtue in the company of those more virtuous than us, we will grow in virtue when we spend time with our Lord. We will become more perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We will allow God to establish his kingdom in our hearts and our souls. Obviously, dear faithful, you ask, how is this to be done in the present situation? And this brings me to the last point of this homily. We have seen from the collect how we are numbered among the members of the church by our baptism. We have seen how we are to make ourselves conformable to those things of heaven. The collect goes on to speak of rejecting those things that are contrary to the Catholic faith. Those things that are contrary to the Catholic faith are referred to as those things that are inimical to it by name. Quae huic inimica sunt nomini. The Latin verb used to reject these things is respuere, which is much clearer in its literal translation. The verb spuere means to spit out. Therefore, respuere means to spit back. We are not only called to reject these things that are contrary to the faith, but to despise them, to reject them with vehemence, with violence. Inundated with many inimical doctrines in our present world, it is quite impossible to prevent such doctrines from entering our souls. Unless we live a life given wholly to God, we will either descend gradually into the same ways of thinking, or be discouraged and give up the fight altogether. You may have experienced stupefaction at some of the terrible things that we can read about in the daily news. We find ourselves unable to explain what we experience, as though caught in a fog or an enveloping darkness. We know, though, that we need our Lord for the salvation of our souls. Indeed, no one is good but God alone. St. John tells us in his first epistle, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome the Antichrist, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." For God to be in us, we know that we need to be in his presence by prayer. We know that we need to receive the sacraments worthily. It is by the regular, worthy reception of sacraments that we can spit out these false doctrines of today, wokeism, transgenderism, and their ilk. We must be regular in our spiritual reading. Read the Catechism. Read the text of the Mass before coming to church. Let us fill our mind with the perennially true doctrines of the Church so that we can spit out the filthy lies of the world. Let us turn to Our Lady and Saint Joseph to guide us through these times, most especially to return to the practice of a good sacramental life. It should be clearer to us now more than ever that the world cannot provide any security. Our strength will always be in the name of the Lord, our only security in his promises. Almighty God, who shows to them that are in error the light of thy truth, so that they may return to the way of righteousness, grant unto all those who are numbered among Christians that they may reject those things that are contrary to their profession of faith and follow all things that are agreeable to the same. O Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for us. Saint Joseph, protector of the universal church, pray for us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.